It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. I'm here the same time, same stations each weekend. Thanks for joining me today. We've got some great material for you. I think very interesting and important material. And you know, I deal with all these different topics, discernment and apologetics and current events and the cults and the occult and Bible prophecy. And today I'm going to start with playing part one of a brand new interview I did with pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel. We'll talk about a topic that just can't get enough coverage, the emergent church movement. I know some of you have said, listen, I've heard about the emergent church, but so many new listeners have heard nothing about it. We see that by which pages are being viewed on our website, by which podcasts are being downloaded, by the interest that's generated. And it's just not that I don't want to talk about things that might generate interest, but we want to bring you information that is current and that can help you in making a stand and being discerning in the day that we live in. So my guest, Joe Schimmel, has a terrific new two-DVD set, two discs, called The Submerging Church, and we're going to make that available to our listeners, and I'll let you know exactly how you can get a hold of that later on in the program. This includes over 3.5 hours of facts and quotes and insight, and it'll be a great addition to any library, no matter how much you might already understand about the world of emergent doctrine or practical error that we see going on. This particular set will really help you, The Submerging Church by Joe Schimmel. So with all that said, I want to remind you to go to our website, ericbarger.com. You'll find a lot of material there, lots of articles and insight dealing with the emergent church movement. But now let's go right to the interview with Joe Schimmel. Those of you who know what the emergent church is, then you know that it's got lots of problems connected to it, lots of moving parts. But I have one of the foremost experts in the church today on the emergent movement on the phone with me, Pastor Joe Schimmel. He's from Simi Valley, California. You're going to be able to find Joe at goodfight.org, but we'll give all that later on. And Joe has a terrific DVD. And when I say terrific, folks, this is really, honestly, documentary style, one of the best I've seen. And they've done a terrific job putting this together, giving you all the different pieces that I think you need to understand the emergent church movement. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Eric. It's great to be on with you, brother.
Well, it's really good to have you here. I'm glad you could cut out the time to do this. And, you know, I told you that the chapter titles you have in this DVD, which is nearly 2 hours long, and we'll tell folks how they can get that in just a few minutes. The disc one in there, it's just right down the list, the different things that I think the church needs to understand in the emergent movement. And as I was watching the DVD again recently, I made note that the different chapter titles would be great discussion questions, and come to think of it, that's exactly what I think we ought to do. So, Joe, I want to first ask you, how did you get started? What tipped you off? What was the first thing you remember about being disturbed about watching the emergent movement? Now, I realize that question probably leads us back to knowing what we used to call liberalism in the church, and when we still use that word occasionally, but what tipped you off about the emergent movement itself, and then how did you come to a place where you would do all this research to do the documentary you've done?
Well, that's a great question, Eric, because I think the answer is somewhat instructive and revealing as to the dangers of the emerging church movement. Is I would have to go way back to the early 80s. I became a Christian right around 1981, and as a new believer, I came out of the occult. I came out of the New Age movement. I came to the realization that Jesus Christ was Lord and that spiritual darkness existed in the occult practice I was encountering through meditation and these various practices I was getting into, contemplative-type practices, had opened me up to the demonic world. And when I called out and realized, wow, there's spiritual evil, I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, was delivered from those, the dark powers, opened the scripture, realized, wow, God has a revelation to us, and God's revealed himself through the person of Jesus Christ and through his word. And I began to just dive into the word, and I realized, wow, it teaches us that, you know, history is linear. It's moving toward its culmination at a great battle called Armageddon between the Lord Jesus Christ and the forces of evil, and God's victorious, and that the scriptures had a lot to say about spiritual deception, the very things I was involved in. And what happened, I wasn't a Christian very long before I realized in the early 80s, mid-80s, that there were a lot of New Age teachings that were part of the occult that were coming into the body of Christ. And so way back in the 80s, I began to track guys like Anthony Campolo, who was teaching, you know, that we're, you know, basically God is in everybody, that we all have Christ consciousness. And other Christians were seeing it, and some people realized he was pretty far off the range, but many people didn't read his books and didn't realize that he was teaching, for instance, that, you know, we all have divinity within us, and he was quoting Eric Fromm, whose one of his books was, you know, "Ye Shall Be As Gods," taking the serpent's lie that we should be as gods as the title of his book. And Anthony Campolo was basically bringing the New Age movement into the church in the name of Christianity as a sociologist, in the name of Christ. So I began to see that pattern, not only with him, but others in the 80s, and Robert Schuller and others basically compromising the Christian faith. So I kept my eye on those guys and have watched them through the years. And it wasn't until late 80s and then the 1990s where liberalism really began to, I mean, it's always been entrenched within, you know, and try to get into the evangelical church. But as I began to see many of these leaders who were saying many of the same things coalesce, come together as a movement, I kept my eyes on them even more. And in the 21st century, we've really seen it pick up, and we've seen the apostasy pick up. And people ask me to explain the emerging church. And Eric, when I saw you to speak, and, you know, the two of us and a few other speakers at the Learn to Discern conference in Canada, I heard you mentioning trying to describe the emerging church, and I thought, wow, you know, I guess we all have the same problem, because it's very eclectic and there's various views. But one of the ways I describe it is, consider if you were trying to deceive the church and you were trying to bring in the idea that, hey, the Bible is not reliable, it's not objective truth, it's not absolute truth, that Jesus Christ, you know, he may not be the only way, that you don't have to accept biblical moral norms of adultery and homosexuality and things like that, and you're trying to bring those ideas into the church, and that the gospel is really about social justice rather than getting people saved and all these different ideas, you wouldn't stand a chance. But if you were Satan and you were trying to do it, you would come forth as an angel of light, as though you were coming up with new truth, and then you would just bring those old lies, which, as you basically alluded to, Eric, have been part of the liberal, quote-unquote, Christianity for a long time. The real reason that so many of these older denominations have died, it's come in the emperor's, you know, new clothing, is the emerging church, and Satan's, you know, lies that are so destructive have been presented in a just new garb, but it's the same old lies.
Yeah, it really is, and I've said often that the emergent Christianity, really, it says it's experience instead of reason, spirituality over absolutes, images over words, feelings over truth, earthly justice more important than salvation, which you just mentioned, and social action takes the place of any talk about eternity. It is somewhat hard to define, but, you know, Joe, it is so interesting when you just gave me the outline there, and I'd not heard that. If you gave that during our time together at the conference we were at up in Canada together, I didn't hear you say it, but, you know, I got saved in 1981 as well. I came out of the New Age movement, and my first experience with liberalism, which of course end up coalescing with the what we now call emergent philosophy, was in the church that we were a part of, and we began to notice that the Bible had a very low place in the mindset of the people. And I've said for a long time that one central theme inside the emergent movement is that the scriptures take a low place. I mean, there's very little regard, and certainly when you start talking about the inerrancy of the Bible, this is something you never hear out of the mouths of the emergents, because honestly, you could not be an emergent and believe that the Bible is truly the Word of God.
I would agree. In our section on Scripture that we deal with in our expose, we have several quotes that show that Rob Bell and his wife talking about it being more of a human product than a divine product. And then what happens when you get away from the Bible as the Word of God, and then what happens is it becomes an open sesame. You just open yourself up to any kind of mysticism. You need to, basically, there for those professing Christians who get away from the Word of God, they're going to be hollow. So the emergent church offers them experiences, you know, mysticism, contemplative prayer, these kinds of things, social action, so they can fill that void, rather than, because when you get away from Jesus and who he really is, and knowing him personally through a relationship that starts with faith and prayer, you become hollow. And there's nothing there. If you don't turn to Jesus, you're going to turn to something else. And it ended up being a false form of Christianity in this case.
Yeah, that's right. And one word of caution to anyone listening who's not heard either you or I speak on this before, or maybe anybody else speak about it, that these guys in the emergent movement, and there are many, many of those teachers out there, they're sold in our Christian bookstores, they're on Christian radio, Christian television, they're in conferences that are couched as Christian conferences. Sometimes they're even next to others that we may find absolutely no problem with. They get invited to these conferences because they're popular. They use the same terms that we would use, but they've attached radically different meanings to those terms. And if you go back to Class 101 with Walter Martin years ago about how to identify the cults, understand that when they use words you think you understand the meaning to, have them define their terms. And when you start defining the terms, the very words that we think we understand what they mean as evangelical Bible-believing Christians, well, even the word evangelical is up for grabs in the mind of the emergents. And these guys are calling themselves evangelicals. And I've said so often that if they're evangelicals, I didn't leave them. They left me. And they're using this word that we thought we understood what it meant, but they've attached something radically different to the definition of the word. And that may be a warning that everybody needs to heed, because when you see the radical redefinition of terms, that can be one of the trickiest things to navigate through. Hello again, everybody. Eric Barger back in the studio. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Take a Stand Radio and part of my conversation with pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel concerning his new DVD set, The Submerging Church. Our announcer will be along in just a moment to tell you how you can acquire a copy. Remember, you can find Joe Schimmel at goodfight.org. That's goodfight.org. And while I have a moment, I want to remind you that this ministry is made available only because of the prayers and the support of those who believe in cutting-edge radio. We're on hundreds of radio stations across North America each weekend. We're also making the podcast available in as many places as we can around the Internet. There are precious few voices out there speaking up on discernment and apologetics in these days, and I'm trusting God that the remnant church, who has ears to hear and to understand exactly where we are in time, are going to respond and meet the increasing needs of our ministry. To donate or to make a monthly pledge of support to Take a Stand Radio, please visit ericbarger.com. When you're there, click on the keyword Nehemiah. That's Nehemiah, or call us at 214-289-5244. God bless you, and thanks so much. And now here's our announcer in just a second, and then more of my interview with Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Want much more from pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel? We hope you'll order The Submerging Church DVD set today. This in-depth documentary will inform and challenge, answering nearly every question about the dangers of the emergent church movement. Included is a bonus 90-minute DVD concerning the emergent's key musician, Bono, lead singer of U2. Visit our safe and secure online store at ericbarger.com. That's E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com, or call 214-289-5244 to place your order. And thanks for support of Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries.
They use the same terms that we would use, but they've attached radically different meanings to those terms. And if you go back to Class 101 with Walter Martin years ago about how to identify the cults, understand that when they use words you think you understand the meaning to, have them define their terms. And when you start defining the terms, the very words that we think we understand what they mean as evangelical Bible-believing Christians, well, even the word evangelical is up for grabs in the mind of the emergents. And these guys are calling themselves evangelicals. And I've said so often that if they're evangelicals, I didn't leave them. They left me. And they're using this word that we thought we understood what it meant, but they've attached something radically different to the definition of the word. And that may be a warning that everybody needs to heed, because when you see the radical redefinition of terms, that can be one of the trickiest things to navigate through.
Amen, brother. One of the greatest ways to, the most powerful deceptions that Satan uses for, you know, professing Christians is that which looks closest to the truth. That's why he comes as an angel of light, and the scriptures warn about, you know, false doctrine, false brethren, false Christ, false prophets, on and on and on. And it's interesting. I kind of laughed when you mentioned that you got saved in 81, because I knew that you had mentioned when we first met each other that Jan Markell said that we're like brothers or something like that. And then she hadn't, I don't think she really understood some of the ways in which our lives parallel each other, but coming out of the music scene, coming out of the New Age movement, and then kind of doing a lot of the same things in ministry, not having crossed each other's paths till recently. That was interesting. You got saved the same time I did, too. That's why I had to laugh. We saw the deception. And what happens is when you've been in the dark and you come to the light and you come to know Jesus, you realize oftentimes how real the enemy is, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the spiritual darkness in high places. There's a spiritual war, and the scriptures say, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, that the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So these spirits would be seducing. They would seduce with deception, but they would have doctrines. And it's amazing that the very doctrines, many of the doctrines that are being pushed in the emerging church in the name of not being doctrinal, which is kind of interesting, so often mirrors that which is more blatant in the occult and in the New Age movement. Even with the New Age movement, I mean, the occult section of the bookstore for many years when I was a new Christian, it was just called that, the occult section. And then in the early 80s, it came to be called the New Age section. So even, you know, Satan realized that, you know, he needed to change his game, the names at least. Well, now a lot of stuff in the New Age section is now, you know, published by Zondervan and other publishers in the Christian bookstores.
It is, and now it's called the religion section in the public in the secular bookstores. I mean, it has morphed quite a bit, and I noticed the exact same thing, Joe. You know, when I got saved, my wife prayed for me for a couple of years after she became a Christian. My wife was involved in witchcraft, and I was in the New Age movement. We were both hopeless drug addicts. That's the life we came out of. And when Jesus set her free, I rebelled for a couple of years, and when I came to Christ and started attending the little church that she was going to. And back in those days, my wife would not have known Presbyterian from Pentecostal. She wouldn't have known one from another, you know. But we were going to a little very liberal church, or she was, and I started going, and I started asking questions maybe, within the first 6 months of my being saved, and I was reading the Bible like crazy. It was all that mattered to me, because I'd been set free. I'd come out of that lifestyle, and I talk about this in my testimony. We've got our testimony all over our website, and I think we've got it in print, in audio, and in video. So we want people to be able to get it however they can. But when I came out of that, I started reading the scriptures, and then I started, just by natural process, I started comparing what I saw going on in that church with what the Bible said, and I started asking questions. And I didn't know that wasn't allowed, that you can't ask any questions, you know. But I started questioning what was happening, and very quickly it was obvious that these folks didn't want anybody rocking their boat. They wanted their own little safe, liberalized type of spirituality. I wouldn't even call it Christianity. And that went on for quite a while, and it was coming to a head when we decided to speak against the church having a Halloween party. And I didn't know the trouble I was going to cause. I mean, how can anybody say anything bad about Halloween? What's wrong with dressing up as a witch or a warlock? And we decided we would go to the Halloween party dressed as ourselves, just as a show of our love to the people, and we wanted to see what was going to happen. Maybe we were wrong. Well, we knew better. We already knew early in our Christian walk, Melanie and I did, that we weren't wrong about this. And we show up at the party, and the pastor's wife is dressed as a witch. And that was like the final, that did it for us, you know. And the Lord was so gracious the way he removed us from that situation, because I was called to be a youth pastor in another church in another part of the Seattle area. And we then could leave the church with some grace. But I remember the struggle I had talking to people who were much older than me and had been around the church a lot more than me. When you begin to talk with them about eternal things, it's all about their good works. And if you look at the emergent movement, this is about social action, about earthly justice, about feelings, about felt needs of people, all those kind of things. This is what we see. And that stuff has invaded Christianity in all quadrants. It's invaded the evangelical world. And some of our most known, best known evangelical leaders have now bought that and are pushing that, and seemingly pushing that far, far greater than salvation by grace and being born again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. it's interesting because that you highlight that because, you know, Rick Warren's deal, and he's definitely been involved in the emerging church movement, wrote the sidebar notes along with Brian McLaren, the so-called new thought leader of the emerging church, and for Dan Kimball's pro-emerging book called The Emerging Church, his whole deal is deeds, not creeds, you know? So not an emphasis on truth. In fact, he just tweeted a little while ago about, you know, he's basically tired of people finding Jesus throughout the Bible in every verse. And I thought, wow, of all the things to pick on, you know?
Yeah, really.
All things to come against. I mean, how about his own error to where he's got a world peace plan, you know, and all these other things. But I thought, wow, it's interesting to slam people trying to find Jesus in the Scripture. I can understand that, hey, if there's improper exegesis going on, but to just put that as a public tweet, the problem is people are getting away from Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and life, and he, no one comes to the Father, he said, but through him, and that people are beyond questioning. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the entire New Testament, for the most part, almost every letter was written to correct false doctrine or bad behavior. Names are mentioned over and over again. As a pastor, I've constantly told the congregation, you know, bring your Bibles and always check out what I'm teaching, you know. The Bible says a wise man accepts a rebuke, but a stupid man doesn't. The Bereans, you know, Luke in the book of Acts records how Paul and Silas ministered to them, and they were counted more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And Paul said, if we himself included, were an angel from heaven preach another gospel than that which we preached, let him be accursed. So no leader is beyond being questioned. We must hold the Scripture up, and we must make sure our teaching conforms to Scripture and actually is derived from Scripture and lifts up the name of Jesus. He is the way of salvation. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. And if we get away from Jesus and the Scripture, we just have darkness. We don't have anything really to share, and that's going to lead people away from the truth and salvation.
Yeah, that's the story, and that's why we're concerned about this. It's not that we're trying to be picky or nitpicky or ultra conservative about any of these people that we're discussing or about these doctrines. This is about souls. It's about what
Amen.
Happens at the end of the day. It's about that where the church will be if the Lord tarries. What kind of church will tomorrow bring? That's the question. You know, folks, that is the real issue. That's where my heart beats, is what will the next generation look like? What will the next church look like? And that's why I spend so much time dealing with liberalism, with the emergent church, with what truth is, with doctrine, with what we believe. That's the whole issue right there. And Joe Schimmel's hit on it. I hope the conversation today has been an encouragement to you and also a challenge to you. We'll pick up with the conversation with Joe Schimmel and continue on talking about the emergent church next week. And really, we've been talking about Joe's DVD without really mentioning it a whole lot during our conversation because it's been the basis of the things we've talked about today. His DVD set, The Submerging Church, just like I said earlier in today's broadcast, is a great resource. I hope you'll get a copy of it for your pastor, a copy for your Bible study group. You'll keep a copy to be able to share with others in your home. It is a great resource, one you'll use again and again and again.
Want much more from pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel? We hope you'll order The Submerging Church DVD set today. This in-depth documentary will inform and challenge, answering nearly every question about the dangers of the emergent church movement. Included is a bonus 90-minute DVD concerning the emergent's key musician, Bono, lead singer of U2. Visit our safe and secure online store at ericbarger.com. That's E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com, or call 214-289-5244 to place your order. And thanks for support of Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries.
Well, everybody, my time is gone for this week. Come and join me again next week. And remember, this ministry is brought to you by the friends and supporters of Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. Come and take your stand with us. God bless you and thanks again.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.